Well, we've got another treat, a special treat prepared for you. I have an abundance message to encourage you all and to teach you what the Word of God says about giving and receiving and how God operates His economy in the kingdom of God. So if you would clap your hands and welcome. Where is she? There she is. An anointed. She's so anointed, it drips from her hands. You have your, she, if you've seen her leading prayer, she has a cloth that she wraps around the mic because literally her hands drip and it's the anointing. So if you need some, just say, Chris, lay your hands on me. So preach it.
Ooh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay. I want to be respectful of Pastor Jake's time, so I have the time. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10. Well, first of all, I'm Christelle. I am a member here at the Ark. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, in the King James Version, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The Strong's Concordance defines abundantly as superabundant in quantity or superior in quality, by implication, excessive. After Jesus was resurrected, he told his disciples in Mark 16, 15 to 8, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Romans 10, 14 to 15, New Living Translation says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That is why scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." Each day, we have the opportunity to share the good news about Jesus and show people the way to him. About 22 years ago, it was a week after my 30th birthday. It was a work day, and I was back home, living with my parents, along with my younger sister, and her husband. We were all sleeping, and I heard a loud crash, and I just thought it was my older sister's kids doing something they weren't supposed to do until I heard my mom scream my dad's name. When I ran into the kitchen, my dad was lying on the kitchen floor, and his cup of coffee was spilled on the floor. My younger sister, who is a nurse, ran out of her room, and between the two of us, we tried to resuscitate our dad. She was giving him breaths, and I was trying to help by doing chest compressions. Well, I think it was my brother-in-law on the phone with 911. My mom was in the hallway just staring at my dad and in shock. The firemen came and the ambulance, and they took my dad to the hospital. They couldn't resuscitate him, and my dad had passed at the age of 64 by either a massive stroke or a massive heart attack. My cousin's pastor did my dad's funeral services because no one in my family went to church, so we didn't know of any pastors. This pastor had invited us to church, and although I told him I had tried this church once and didn't care for some things, he said to come and try again. Sometime in the following year, both my mom and I went and have never stopped attending church since. It was about 4 years after I started going to church, I was in a couple of Bible study groups. My schedule was busy, and I decided I would attend only one Bible study group since the other one had evolved into just making crafts and talking story. Right when I was going to drop out, the facilitator says, "We're going to start this new Bible study series." So I decided to stay. Her best friend had been coming to some of our meetings, and they joined us for the video series. The best friend was our very own Pastor Debbie, who at the time wasn't ordained a pastor. As we sat and watched the videos, you could hear Pastor Debbie saying amen here and there. And it got my attention because I wasn't used to that, and I thought I would be offended and distracted by it. But as her amens continued, I didn't find them distracting or irritating at all. There was just something different about her. As I spent more time with her and she began to mentor me in God's word and power and authority we have as Christians and encouraged me to do IMI Bible College, I became more knowledgeable and hungry for the things of God. I've now been at the Ark for almost 15 years. I found out later from Pastor Debbie and Pastor Mari that Pastor Debbie originally didn't want to come to our Bible study craft sessions. John 16, 15, chapter 15, verses 12 to 13, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love, no stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends." Pastor Debbie thought more about sharing the truth about her with her best friend, me, and the group than what she felt, and with boldness and taking the time, she shared the truth with us. I will eternally be grateful to her for this and all she has poured out into me. Thank you, Pastor Debbie. John 8:32, King James Version says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." After going through the IMI lessons years ago and being here at the Ark, I have learned a lot about my heavenly identity and authority I've been given by Jesus Christ. I really do believe anything is possible with God and all that the Bible says. I also know now I don't ever need to feel that helpless again in a situation like how I was when my dad passed, because I do believe that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit within me. At funerals, you'll hear them talk about the dash in a person's life, referring to what they did between their date of birth and date of death. I believe as Christians, we should also think beyond the dash. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21 in the New Living Translation says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." I want to share a portion of a eulogy I came across recently. God made a way for her to go on missionary trips to Africa, Philippines, Mexico, and other countries, where she got to see the awesome power at work as he used her to raise the dead, open blind eyes, see limbs grow, and heal people from diseases like AIDS and cancer. Because of her everlasting desire to always want to learn more and be teachable, she was willing to take on new projects and gain knowledge in many areas of life. This contributed to her successful growth in her different businesses and relationship with God. God used her gifts of teaching, serving others, and giving to increase his kingdom and love on others. I know you all have your own stories about her that were hilarious, embarrassing, inspiring, and maybe even one of irritation. We loved her willingness to help, her enthusiasm about anything, or childlike belief in the impossible, her positive attitude and contagious worship of God. Then there were her challenges with being on time, distractions when completing projects, and just being herself. But no matter what, we knew her heart to love and serve others and to do God's will. And because of that, we put up with her never-ending, nagging, hounding about going to church and knowing God and what he could do for us. I know she would want it in her last words first to let you know how much she loved all of you, her ohana and friends, so much. You are part of the reason why she was the way she was, and then to invite any of you, if you don't already know him, to please call out to God and ask him to be a part of your life through Jesus Christ and surrender to him so you could have that righteousness, peace, and joy she had only because of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This eulogy is mine. It was part of a homework assignment for leadership training about 8 years ago here at the Ark. When I reread it, it reminded me of what I have to keep doing and have yet to do. It was prophesying. It was like prophesying to myself. In the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, there are two definitions for eulogy. One, a commendatory oration or writing, especially in honor of one deceased. Two, high praise. I desire my life to be one of high praise to God and to live life abundantly. As I mentioned earlier, each day we all have an opportunity we can give. It takes time, love, and not going by what we feel, but what God says we should do. Here's how I ended my eulogy assignment, which is actually something that happened to me around 5 to 6 years ago. "Finally, I leave you with this," she shared with me one time, and it was when one of her clients shared this with her and told her this. "She makes them want to be better people." She told me that was one of the greatest compliments she ever received and knew she was fulfilling her purpose in life to encourage the best in others and gave God all the glory for it, because if it wasn't for him, she could have never loved on others the way he called us to. Thank you. May you be blessed too and fulfill the purpose and plans God has for your life. If you would like a giving envelope, please raise your hand and an usher will provide you one. Here at the Ark, we have three quick and easy ways that you can give, as you can see on the screen behind me. Whichever method of giving you choose, we hope that you give cheerfully and intentionally to the Lord. If you choose to give electronically, we would like to encourage you to still please bring your giving slip and present yourself to the Lord. If you're a member of the Ark,
our keys? Would you please be certain to greet some of our guests and make them feel welcome? Guests, you are very important to us. And we are so glad that you are here. During our time of giving, we'd like to welcome you and be a blessing to you. Some people may come and give you a welcome, a handshake, or even put a gift in your hand. Please receive this gift as blessing for you personally. The Bible says that wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there also. And we want our heart to be with you. Thank you. If you can all stand and stretch out your hands and your faith, and we're going to bless the tithes and offerings, the givings. Father, you are awesome and mighty and the God of the impossible. Thank you for each person who's sown and given what you told them to, Lord. And we thank you that it's blessed. We call it blessed, Lord. We thank you for wisdom on how to steward it, Lord. And we just thank you that just for the fruit and the harvest that will come from here, Lord, you said that you are God that will not be mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. So I thank you, Lord, we stand upon your word, which is the truth, and that you are the God of the impossible. Blow our minds away, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we give you all the glory in your son's precious and mighty name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, well, well. I hope you guys are ready for an encounter with God through his word. I'm Pastor Jake. I'm the lead pastor here at this church. And for those of you that are guests here with us, we want you to know that there are restrooms. In case you're looking for them, the men's restroom is out on this side here, just through this door here. Women's restroom is out on this side. There are limited seats available in there, so you will want to plan your timing accordingly so that you don't have to wait until you have to do the special dance if you're waiting for the restroom. We're going to turn our kids' teachers loose on this side here so that they can be prepared to meet their students. And then students, go ahead and head on over this way and meet your teachers there. Parent helpers, we thank you for helping out. And would you just help me as we bless our kids and our teachers today. Lord, we just pray that you would bless the kids, that you would bless the teachers, that most of all that you would bless the word of God that falls upon the soil of their hearts. And we ask you, God, that you would cause it to grow, to flourish, and to make them to be amazing men and women of God. We thank you for their destiny, and we call it out of them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, I just want you to know that you may have somebody come up to you and ask you if you would be willing to serve in our children's ministry. We always need people to help serve and to come alongside. And especially if someone comes up to you and asks you if you would help, it's because they see in you something that is awesome and something that would be a blessing to our kids. How many of you know that not everybody has the grace to work with children? But you know, some people really do have a grace for working with children. And not only that, but you have an anointing from God. And we want you to work supernaturally to be able to raise up the next generation. So if someone comes up to you and asks you if you would be willing to serve in the kids' ministry, number one, don't answer without asking the Lord. Because even if you want to say no, but he says yes, you ought to say yes. And then the second thing is that we would ask that you would just be willing to do whatever God asks you to do because you have an anointing that might affect someone's life for years to come. And we know that they wouldn't ask you if there wasn't something special about you to be able to work with these kids. And they are absolutely a treasure from God. You know, the Bible says that children are like arrows. And so it is our privilege to be able to loose them into the battlefield and to be able to help them to become victorious. The Bible says that in all things we are more than conquerors. And so it is important that we train them up so that they can be amazing men and women of God as you do your part as parents as well. Well, I do want to just say a couple other things before I get into the word here today. I want to say thank you to a couple of friends of mine that are here. You might see them wandering around a little bit. Don't worry, they're not lost. But Shane and Louie are here today at my invitation, and I'm so glad that they came. They're going to be helping us out with a few things, and I'm super thankful for you. Thanks, Brother Louie. Appreciate you, man. They're holding things down on the north shore of our island and making sure that they hear the gospel out on that side as well. But they're amazing friends of mine, and I'm so glad that they're here with us today. They might be here for a couple of weeks just helping us out with some things, which we will reveal a little bit later on. They are not secret shoppers, but they are amazing people. I also want to let you know that if you're interested in finding any photos of any of the events that have been going on, maybe photos from Sunday morning, photos from the baptism, photos from this morning or whatever during worship. Number one, we want to encourage you, be there. Don't just live through photos and videos, but actually be there. It's so awesome, man. The baptism connect, the beach connect was just off the charts. Some people didn't leave until like 10 o'clock that night. And it's not because we had to stay, it's because we wanted to stay. And we just had great time. There was so much food. It was awesome. Thank you for bringing what you did. But those photos are gonna be made available, just a few of them, so you don't have to go through like 700 photos. Like 10 of them per event will be starting to be made available on our website. So if you wanna catch up with some of the things or just relive a great moment, you can go to our website, check those out. We wanna thank Micah for taking those photos and making them available. People are actually paying him to take photos of them, and we're just reaping the benefits of his passion for God in this area, and so we're thankful for that. By the way, our app is going to be updated very soon. We're excited about that because the notes, the sermon notes and everything are going to be right there in the app. You can actually take notes right in the app. It's going to be off the chain. So we're super excited about it. It's still in development for the next few weeks, but stay tuned. Good things are ahead. Speaking of notes are still available, though we are on break from Connect groups right now. That doesn't mean that you're on break from being a Christian. And so if you want to grab your notes, you can grab them from the Welcome Center. If they aren't available there because they've run out, hallelujah. But you can go right to our website and you can grab them. You can download them there. And we encourage you to use them as a Connect group in your own home with some friends, get together at Starbucks, go deeper in the Word of God. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer of the Word. Can you say amen? All right, that's enough of the announcement stuff. You guys ready? All right, I'm going to be talking to you about living the supernatural life. This is part three of a series. Don't worry, if you missed the first two parts, this message will stand alone and you'll feel all warm and fuzzy by the end of the message. But if you'd like to find out what else was talked about, you can go right to our website or you can go to our app and you can listen to the previous messages. If you prefer to watch it, you can go to our Facebook page and you can look at it. You can watch it by video and find out what else was shared in the previous lessons. I want to thank Pastor Stewart for filling in for me last week preaching so that we could go on our 18th wedding anniversary trip. And it was great. You guys are amazing. And I want to dig into this word by setting this up real quick. Why do you want to live the supernatural life? What are the major reasons? This stuff is not in your notes. You're just going to have to listen for a moment. Why are we talking about living the supernatural life? Why can't we just live a practical life? Why can't we just live a normal life? Because the supernatural life is way more practical than the normal life. You need the supernatural. Here's why we're talking about it. Because without living the supernatural life, you would be hard-pressed. In fact, I would say it is impossible for you to live the God design that he has for your life. God is a supernatural God. And in order to have a supernatural connection or to have his design, you have to live a supernatural life. Last time that I was ministering, I told you that all of us that have children, we want our kids to do better than we do. We want our kids to have more than we have. We want them to be better people than we are. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. And the only way that we can do that is to add something more than our natural. You can't get better just naturally. You need some super on that natural. And for our kids to live a better life, we need to teach them how to live a supernatural life. Remember, God is supernatural, and so to partake in his life, we've got to live a supernatural life. The second reason is because I don't believe that we can effectively or properly preach the gospel without the supernatural. The gospel itself, by the way, is supernatural. The whole gospel is this, right? That Jesus died for our sins. It is supernatural for one man to be able to take the sins of the world on his shoulders and to be able to take that and to deal with it. It is supernatural for a man to hang on the cross in the way that he did. I don't have time to go into it, but it was supernatural. It is supernatural for someone to die and 3 days later be raised from the grave. So in order to participate in the gospel, it is a supernatural gospel. Let me point you to a scripture that you may have never read before, but I hope that you have because you read your Bible. Am I right? Yes. Romans chapter 15. Go ahead and turn there real quick with me, if you will. Romans chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. I'm going to read this out of the King James Version of the Bible just because I like the way that it's worded. But this is what it says. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought or done by me. To make Gentiles, by the way, that's all of us here, unless you are a Jew, you are a Gentile. That's all of us. To make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Listen, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have, listened. Fully preached the gospel of Christ. Amen. Through mighty signs and wonders, I have fully preached the gospel. What I see in this, just breaking it down as literature, is that without mighty signs and wonders, you cannot fully preach the gospel. You might be able to partially preach the gospel. You might be able to be persuasive about the gospel, but you cannot fully preach the gospel without mighty signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God, and that happens only supernaturally. So that's why we're talking about this stuff. Let me give you a quick recap over the last few weeks. First of all, number one, what is normal and natural for one species is totally unnatural and totally abnormal for another species. In other words, for a fish to breathe air underwater is normal. For you to try to breathe underwater means certain death. Am I right? It is normal and natural for one species to do one thing, abnormal for a different species. So when you became a Christian, if you are a Christian, you became a brand new species of supernatural human being. So one thing that's natural for a human is not natural for a supernatural human. Things change when you come into the kingdom of God. Life is about to get very different for you when you start living the supernatural life. Here's the second thing. The supernatural life does not always look spectacular. You know, some of the best sport players in the world, they don't even look like they're trying. You know what I'm saying? They just do the thing, and it looks like they're just cruising through it, and they're winning at every turn. Why is it? Because it's natural for them to do it in such a excellent, supernatural almost kind of a fashion. When you get good enough at a sport, what you find out is that everything begins to slow down for you. You'll notice this when you talk to professional athletes or athletes that are competing at a high level. At a certain point, as they're playing, things just look like they're happening in slow motion. And when they're looking like that, you can react like you're moving at normal speed, but everything around you is moving in slow-mo. Do you think that you might be just a little bit better, a little bit faster, a little bit sharper than everybody else who thinks that the game is moving really fast? Well, when you get into the supernatural realm, what happens is that life starts to look very natural, but it's happening in a supernatural kind of a way. You have favor on your life. Everything seems to be going your way sometimes. Why? Not because you're special. It's just because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Here's the next thing. You don't have to be weird to be supernatural. Say, phew. Man, I'm so glad that you don't have to be weird to be supernatural, but you do have to be yielded. That means that whatever God wants you to do, I'm going to talk about yieldedness in one of these sermons, but you've got to let God have the right of way, right? If you've got the triangle sign and you just go, you're liable to get into an accident because someone else has the right of way. We've got to allow God to have the right of way in our life so that he's in control and we are yielding to him. We are allowing him to have his way, not just we go whenever it is that we want to go. Use your blinker. Here's the next thing. God doesn't work through pride, but God absolutely works through humility. The Bible says this, that God gives more grace to the humble. He gives more of his divine ability to people that are humble and willing to allow God to have his way. God doesn't work through pride. He works through humility. So you know what? If we're too prideful to lay our hands on somebody, I promise you, God's not going to do anything without it. If we're too prideful to share the good news of Jesus Christ to someone around us, they probably won't get saved. If we're too prideful in order to let God smash us down into the floor and roll around on a dirty floor because we've got white clothes on, probably something might not happen. Yeah. I think it's important that we be humble more than proud. Humility, by the way, is simply this. It's agreeing with what God says about you. Yeah. So when God says that you are the head and not the tail, when you feel like the tail, guess what? Your feelings are wrong. You got to be humble and say, yes, that's right, God. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. What happens if you don't feel blessed coming in and going out? Your feelings are wrong. You ever feel wrong about something ever? I thought that I wasn't going to like a movie once, and then I went to it. And though I had those feelings, I was totally wrong. I enjoyed it. I thought I wasn't going to enjoy the roller coaster, but I got on it, and next thing you know, I enjoyed the ride. You see, sometimes your feelings can be wrong. It's more important to trust God. Amen. By the way, the supernatural life is a life that is full of hunger for God's house. It's important to be hungry after God. You want the supernatural? You can't live around the natural all the time and get the supernatural in you. You'll get hungry for the house of God. All right, well, that's the setup for our message today. I want to talk to you about just one thing today, just one aspect about the supernatural life. I think that it is so full that I needed to take the whole time just to talk about this one thing. I want to talk to you about the fact that the supernatural life is a life of overflow. Say overflow. Overflow. You might not understand overflow, but overflow is when something is overflowing. It's when there's more than enough, where there isn't room enough to contain it, where the container is not big enough. You know, when we would go to Chinese restaurants, my dad would always do this, and he still does it till today. I just accept it that it's always going to happen. Now, those of you that are science-minded, you know that water has these two principles and these two attributes. It has cohesion and adhesion, right? Cohesion means that water molecules like to hold on to one another. And adhesion means that water likes to grab on to other things. Well, if you use those scientific principles properly, you can begin to pour tea into a teacup because tea is made with water. And so you can pour tea into a teacup to where the teacup is full. But you can continue to pour until the teacup is actually rounded over the top with tea. And if you put even one more drop of tea into that cup, it'll break the cohesion of the molecules of water, and it'll actually start to spill out all over the place. Well, my dad has practiced this through many years of abusing his, of having fun with his children, that he has found out the exact number of drops of tea that will fit into a teacup to make that perfect bubble so that you can't move it, so that you can't put one more drip of tea in there, but so that it doesn't start spilling out of the cup. Every time we go to a Chinese restaurant, be prepared. That's what's going to happen. You see, this is the life that we're meant to live, not below the surface of the cup. We're not meant to live in what's called the meniscus, the bottom of the bowl, but we're meant to live above and beyond, more than the capacity that you're built for. In fact, the Bible says that he would give you so much that there isn't room enough to contain it. You know what that means? It means overflow. That's what that means. The supernatural life is a life that's full of overflow. Would you look with me in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39? This is what the Bible says about the overflow life. He says this, "He who believes in me," talking about Jesus, "as the scripture has said," by the way, it's not how you want to, it's how the scripture has said, "from his innermost being," listen, "will flow rivers of living water." You know what rivers are? Rivers are not ponds. Rivers are not lakes. Rivers are a place of overflow where, in fact, there's some areas in the United States right now where there are dams that are so full that they're about to turn into rivers. They're so full that they're about to break loose and a river's about to begin to flow. You see, a river is not a trickle. It's not a drop. It's not something that can be contained. The only thing that helps to channel it is the channel itself. You see, God wants his spirit and his life to flow out of us like a river. Not got to squeeze you so tight that a drop of life comes out of you. I know some Christians like that. It's like they hate being around God. They hate being around church so much that it takes them being squeezed so hard before a little bit of Christianity comes out of them. But a lot of other junk comes out first. I think it's important that we have a river flowing out of us. Can you say amen? Check this out in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. In the New King James Version of the Bible, by the way, all my scriptures will be up there on the screen in case you don't have a way to access it yourself. But if you have your Bible, I suggest that you write it down in your Bible, that you highlight it, that you take notes, make marks in your Bible. It's important. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 says this, "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give will become in him,'" say in me.
In
say in me.
In
"it's going to become in you a well springing," or a fountain of water, "springing up into everlasting life." Have you ever been to a place where there's a spring that comes out of the rocks? It's pretty impressive. I had the opportunity to go to what's considered to be the source of the Nile River. Many people think that the Nile River, just because it's connected to Lake Victoria, that Lake Victoria is the source of the Nile, but it's actually not. There's a place right near the junction of the two where water is actually coming up from the deep and it's boiling up from under the ground. There's an artesian flow of water where it's breaking up underneath the Nile River, turning into Class 5 rapids, and flowing downstream after that. The source of the Nile is not the pond. It's a flow that breaks up from underneath. You know, in you, you need to have a well that's in you. You need to have this never-ending supply. So many of us have this mind towards lack. We're so used to having finite resources, right? Where we always hear about how little oil there is and that there's going to be an oil shortage. We hear about how there's going to be a lack of money, or maybe you've experienced a lack of money. Maybe you've experienced a lack of food. Maybe you've experienced a lack of clothing. Thank God you're all fully clothed here today. But maybe you've experienced lack at some point, and so you're familiar with this thing of lack. Are you familiar with overflow? Are you familiar with there's more than enough so that you just cannot possibly contain it? That's like our potluck. That's why I love coming to potlucks. There's never enough room to contain it. I don't care how many stomachs are available. There's always more food than stomachs can hold. That is what overflow looks like. The Bible says that if you drink of this water, and it talks about the Bible, it talks about Jesus, all those things. If you put that inside of you, it will be a well springing up unto everlasting life, and you will not run out. That's so cool. You'll never run out. Can you understand what that means? That you could keep giving and giving and giving and never run out? That means you never have to worry about how much you give. Man, that's why I want to become independently wealthy if the Lord will allow me to do it. Why? Because then I can give and I can give and I can give and never run out. Oh my goodness. Think of the possibilities. Some people think if I had $100 million, I wouldn't know how to spend it. I could spend that in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. Right now, there's this amazing thing going on. It's called One Nation, One Day. I think it's happening, where is it? Is it happening in Peru right now? One Nation, One Day. They have 100,000 people that are gathered in a stadium. They've brought thousands of people to minister in one nation. And the question was this: can a nation be touched in a day? Can a nation be touched in a day? I believe that it can. But how many of you know that it's going to take some resources to fly thousands of people over there? How many of you know it's going to take some resources to rent out the biggest soccer stadiums and the biggest football stadiums and the biggest venues all across the nation? How many of you know it's going to take some resources to fly doctors in there so that they can vaccinate people, so that people can have their eyes checked and teeth pulled and get clothes and all their necessities met? How many of you know it takes some resources? You can't have lack when you need to touch a nation in a day. I think that's why we need to live beyond what we're living right now. I need to have more than what I've got right now. Not for me. I've got enough. I need more for other people so that I can touch more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We've got to learn how to live out of overflow and saturation of God. You know, I know some people who say this. They say, you know, I don't want to run too hard after God. I don't want to chase too hard after God because I might burn out. I don't want to serve too much. I might burn out. But you know what? Actually, the Bible says exactly the opposite of that. Now, I'm going to tell you how you can burn out if you want to do that. But I'm going to tell you how you can choose to serve and never burn out. Do you know that I've been on setup and breakdown crew for like almost 20 years now? I ain't burnt out yet. In fact, I set up, then I built some stuff for our welcome center today. And now I'm preaching, and then I'm going to break down, and then we've got a luncheon after this, and I'm just going to keep on going because I'm full of the presence of God that sustains me. I'm not tired. I'm not burnt out. I'm not burnt out after 20 years. I pray that you will never burn out in your walk for God. And I probably do a lot more than some people in this place do. And it's not a bragging thing. I'm just telling you there's a way. If there's a way, why not have it? I had an interesting conversation with my general health practitioner this past week, and long story short, they said, you are in super health. This is after they haven't seen me in 6 years and they wanted to see me. And so they said, you're in super health. Why are you here today? Are you trying to have like exceptional health or something? I said, yes, that's about right. I'm trying to have exceptional health. And they said, why would you ever want to do that? I said, because it's possible. Why would I not want to? If it's possible, if I can have it, why should I not want to have it? If the overflow life is possible, why would you want to live a mediocre, dry, barren life? I want to have the overflow, full, saturated kind of life. We got to learn how to live in the saturation of God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says it like this. It says this, but those who wait upon the Lord. By the way, that word wait is very similar to the word that we use when you've got someone who's a waiter waiting on you, waiting on your table. You know they're not the one sitting down to a meal. They're the ones serving, working. But those that serve and wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. If you don't think that that phrase is true, listen. Why would you need to renew your strength if you're not using any strength? If you're sitting there and just being filled, then why do you need to renew anything? You're already new. You only got to get renewed if you're not new no more. That's why when we're serving God and we're burning off energy in the realm of the Spirit of God, we're burning up our resources, we're burning up all these things. When we're giving to the Lord, why do you think that God is going to give back to you? Pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. It's because you've made room for more to come in. You cannot get more when you're holding on to what you've already got. You got to let go so that you can have refill. Amen? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, it's not just about the pace. It doesn't matter the pace. You might be soaring. You might be running. You might be walking. But the point is that your strength won't wear out. You'll renew your strength. But if you're not giving out any strength, then what's the point? If you're wondering why, I'm just not being fed, that's because you've already been fed. It's like this video I saw of this guy that's on a treadmill. He's got his chair on the treadmill, like straddling the treadmill, and he's just moving his feet. He's sitting down in the chair, moving his feet on the treadmill. He's got his side table over here, and he's eating while he's moving his legs on the treadmill sitting down. Now, I think that is an amazingly ingenious man. If it were me, there would be bacon and Oreos on the plate. But you know, he's not burning off any of what he's putting in. He's just fooling himself. Sometimes we can come to church and we can say, oh man, I'm not being fed here. By the way, Judas had the best pastor. Judas had the best sermons. Judas had the best mentor, and he was still an idiot. Just saying. It's not my fault. If you're not being fed, it's not my fault. We got to make room to get hungry. Yeah. One of the best ways you want to work up an appetite, go do something. Yeah. Not like just walking to your mailbox and back. Like, do something. Work up an appetite. The best things, man, when you go to the beach, the best thing is when you've just been so busy enjoying the water and been enjoying the play and the exercise, and then you finally get to the buffet table, and it's like, oh my goodness, I'm so hungry. And the best thing in the world is a Lay's potato chip at that point. But you can never eat just one. It says that on the bag. They're amazing. And you ever notice that when you're hungry, it almost doesn't matter what it is that you eat? It's amazing, isn't it? What I'm trying to tell you is this, that if you would work up your spiritual appetite a little bit, it doesn't matter how junk I preach, it would be delicious to you. If you want my preaching to get better, go do something. It'll be more delicious to you, I promise. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You got to give out before you get renewed. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. You getting something out of this today? Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says this, repent, therefore, and be converted. By the way, the word repent means this, not, oh, sorry, yeah. Repent means that you were going in one direction, but now you'd make a 180-degree turn, not a 360-degree turn, a 180-degree turn, and you walk back from where you were. You were sinning, but now you turn around and you walk away from the sin. It's not turn around and then look back and be like, oh, that was kind of cool, man. I think I like that a little bit. I'm going to stay right here. Stay in the proximity of my sin. No, walk away. Leave it. Walk away. That's what repent means. It means to return to the highest point. In a very practical, down-to-earth kind of way, it's turning away from our ways and doing things God's way. That's what repent is. Listen, repent, therefore, and be converted, be changed, that your sins may be blotted out. Listen, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Without that first part, I'm going to say this again in another way in a moment, but without that first part, the second part can't happen. We're looking for refreshing in the presence of the Lord, right? But then it's like, how come when I come to church, I don't feel refreshed? Not my fault. There's another part to that verse. Yeah. It's not Sarah's responsibility to rev up the worship. It's not about Pop Goes the Weasel worship. When you finally get there to the threshold, oh yeah, that was it, yeah. It's not about that. It's about what you bring into the potluck. See, if you prepared your food, you'll never be hungry. If you brought what you brought to the potluck, even if nobody else brought anything, you could eat your food. See, when we come into the presence of God, we're looking for refreshing, but we can't have it without having the first part. I'll get back to that in a moment. Repentance from our carnal ways, by the way, that's our unregenerate nature. That's our old ways of doing things. Repentance from our carnal ways and change or conversion over to a supernaturally and godly way causes refreshing to come in His presence. Change from our way to His way causes refreshing to come in His presence. Not just generally speaking around in the world, in His presence. That's important. Look, if we continue to live carnally, we always live like we've always lived. All we do is we just add a little bit of Jesus to it. This is what happens. We'll find conviction in His presence rather than refreshing. And then when we come to church, it's like, man, church is so uncomfortable. I don't like it. How come it always feels like Pastor Jake's talking to me and calling me a sinner? Hey, look, if the shoe fits. I'm not calling anybody a sinner. I am a chief of sinners. The Bible says all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned, every single one of us. So when I walk up in here on a Sunday morning, it's not because I'm perfect. I didn't make it through another week perfect. You know what I mean? It's simply because of the grace of God. And I'm here because I need to be refreshed, but I'm willing to change my ways. Just talk to Michael Jackson. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. Look, change your ways. Yeah. You feel refreshed. It's like changing your underwear. You feel refreshed. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, and I'm a little scared about that. Here's the answer. Look, sometimes people come into church and they feel convicted, or they just feel uncomfortable. Here's the answer. The answer is not leave that place. The answer is change. It's not like you go to one doctor and the doctor tells you something you don't like to hear, so you go to another one hoping that they'll agree with you. The answer is change. The answer is always change. Don't just find people around you that agree with you. That's like what social media is all about. I don't like your difference of opinion. I will unfriend you now. And people are unfriending Jesus all over the place. Jesus doesn't agree with me. I will unfriend him now. I will unfollow you, Jesus. I want to tell you that that's not the answer. The answer is not that. The answer is change. Because without following Jesus and without being in his presence, refreshing cannot come. You want to be refreshed? Let me tell you how you can be refreshed. But first, let me tell you how you can burn out. You ready? This is how you can burn out. Burnout happens from not changing our ways to God's ways and by living naturally instead of supernaturally. You want to burn out? This is how you do it. Don't change. You want to burn out? This is how you do it. Don't let your ways be converted from your ways to God's ways. You want to burn out? Do it in your own strength. You want to burn out? Do it without Jesus. Just. Here's something that's amazing. Do you know that you can work a lot in a church and not work for Jesus? There's like an organization called the church, and we have a 501c3 status. And you can work for that organization and not work for Jesus. It's possible. I wouldn't advise doing it, but it's possible. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. It's not in your notes today, but I want to read this out of a version of the Bible called the Bible in Basic English. It says this: "For in him we have life and motion and existence, as certain of your verse writers have said, for we are his offspring." Another version of the Bible says it this way: that in him we live and we move and we have our being. The Bible says that he is the vine and we are the branches, and when we are connected to him, we will bring forth much fruit. But when we live in a place of disconnection from Jesus, our life begins to die. I guarantee you this, that if I walk outside and cut a branch off the tree, that though it might fall to the ground and the leaves are still green on that branch, it is already dead. It might not appear right up front, but it is already dead. Why? Because it's been separated from the life that's in the tree. Don't allow yourself to be separated from the life in Christ. The way to burn out, do it on your own. Do it without Jesus. Do it your own way. Look, the supernatural life is meant to be lived at the saturation point. At the saturation point. This is a scientific term, but there's so much in it. This is what saturation point is. Saturation point is the stage beyond which no more of something can be absorbed or accepted. When you can't take any more Jesus, you're just so full of Jesus, like that teacup, that one more drop is going to cause something to come out of you. You know, like, I know that some of you might have eaten so much at the potluck that you're like, if I eat one more bite, it's coming out. Can I just say you ate too much? But other than that, when we've gotten so much Jesus that there's not enough room to receive him, and you can't contain anymore, guess what? It turns into a river. Amen. You can't carry anymore. It starts to flow out. You can't hold anymore for yourself. It starts to get to other people. That's what happens. If you're struggling with whether or not you give to other people, if you've not given your relationship with Jesus to other people and you're okay with it, you're not full yet. You got to get you full. You got to get you spilling out all over the place. You got to get to that realm of overflow. You're meant to be living at the saturation point. Check it out. It's like a sponge. When you get a sponge to the saturation point, when you drip one drip in, one drip comes out. Drip in, drip out. Drip in, drip out. Do you know that that sponge is not becoming any drier every time a drip comes out? It is the same saturated sponge as it was before that drip hit it. It's just that there's no room to receive it anymore. So one drip in, one drip out. One drip in, one drip out, and the sponge is still completely full. That's how you live refreshed in the presence of God. We're meant to spill over from the top of the container, not drain out from the bottom of the container where we might run dry. Think about it, right? It's like this little water cooler over here. We had this happen actually at our Beach Connect. Everybody drank everything that was in there. And you know when we knew that it was empty? When nothing else came out. But you know, if we had been scooping or pouring from the top of the container, we would have known long before it was dry, wouldn't we? You see, when you serve out of the bottom of the container, because some of us are doing that, we got a certain quota of Jesus once upon a time in our life. And we got filled maybe even once upon a time in our life. We were all the way full, but we've slowly been leaking out to the world around us. And as people have needed, then we've given, but we've been giving from the bottom. And then we don't know that we're running dry until there's nothing left. Can I just tell you, that's not the right way to live. Pastors around the world do this, and I'm so sorry that they do. That they give and they give and they give until they fall into adrenal failure. I've got friends. They give and they give and they give until they have a mental breakdown because they've got nothing left to give. People have sucked the life out of them. Literally, the life of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, sucked it right out of them. But the problem was that they weren't putting in more than they ever gave out. Do you know that if you put in more than you ever give out, you'll never run dry? It's just simple math. If you add more than you give, by the way, the answer is not giving. The answer is making room for God to refresh you. You ever been to one of them high-class restaurants and the waiters have these nice phrases that they use instead of saying, enjoy your meal? They ask you, they're like, would you please enjoy your meal? Maybe you've been to a restaurant where they don't ask you, oh, you like more water? But instead they say, may I refresh your drink? See, that's what it is. We need to be refreshed in our spirit. We need to be refreshed, topped off. Would you like more coffee? The answer is always yes. Unless it's lukewarm or cold, then the answer is definitely not. But I do want more hot coffee. You see, you don't give out of the bottom. You cannot do that. If you've been doing that, stop. Begin to pour in from the top and keep on pouring until it spills out of the top and turns into a river that flows out of you. Jesus, by the way, is the source. He's the source of our refreshing, right? He said, if I get inside of you, then I will make you into a river of living water. If my words live in you, it'll be a well springing up unto everlasting life. I mean, better than one of those chocolate fountains, you know? Like Jesus pouring out of you. I know some people that got to try to work it up. You ever been in a place where they got those hand pumps? I go to India, so I see them. They got to pump the water, right? It takes a while. Why? Because it's way down there, and they got to get it all the way up here. Don't be one of them pump Christians where you got to pump you up before we can get something out of you. Before someone can get some Jesus, I got to go fast and pray. Do you know that Jesus never told anybody he had to go fast and pray? He just said, sure, I got this. Even when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he didn't have to go fast and pray. He was already fasted and prayed and full of the anointing of God. You know, that's why it was so easy that for that lady that Jason was talking about earlier to get a touch from heaven. Because Jesus wasn't scraping the bottom of the barrel to try to help her out. He was so full of anointing that all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment and bang, she got her miracle. I think that we ought to be living like that. I know it would be really weird, right? People walking around trying to touch your clothes. But imagine if you are so full of the presence of God that somebody just accidentally bumps into you and boom, they get healed. Imagine in the Bible, it talks about how Peter would walk around in his shadow, that it's not even connected to him. His shadow passed over people and they would get healed and delivered. That's called being so full that your shadow has enough anointing for people to be healed. We got to live in that place, people. We got to live there with Jesus, so full of the anointing that it just comes pouring out of us. Can I also say that it'll make your Christian life so much easier? I know that so many of us feel like I don't do enough for Christ, or I don't like doing it. It's so hard to do. Look, when it's pouring out of you, it's not hard.
Yeah, that's right.
It's only hard when you got to pump it up or when there ain't nothing in there. It's only hard when you don't have any because you've not been in the presence of God. By the way, it is possible to be in his house and not be in his presence. It's possible. Look at the story of Martha and Mary in the Bible. That there's Jesus. I mean, Jesus himself. He's in the house. And one of them is sitting with Jesus, hanging out, enjoying the presence. And the other one's bustling around the kitchen, slamming dishes around because she's all ticked off that her sister's not helping. What's more important here, the dishes or Jesus? I tell my wife this all the time. Honey, what is more important, the dishes or Jesus? No, I never said that once in my life. But can you understand that even when we come in here, our ushers, you guys can get so wrapped up in your job that you miss Jesus. Soundboard operator, he can get so, there's so many knobs and buttons on that thing, sliders, faders, all this digital stuff. You can get so wrapped up in your job that you miss Jesus. We can get so wrapped up in everything that's going on. Oh, that note was slightly under pitch, and oh my gosh, it's so irritating. Jesus was in that flat note. He was in it, but you missed him. The Jews miss their day of visitation. Don't be that person. You can be in his house and miss his presence. If there's one thing that you do in this church, would you please go to his presence? Go to his presence. Get full. The world will be better because you're full than if you're empty. Here's the one thing that I want you to remember. Our spiritually dry and lacking lifestyle will never change or bless anyone in a positive way. When you have nothing to offer, it doesn't bless anyone. Here's what you need to do. Do whatever it takes to get saturated. One drip in, one drip out. Do whatever it takes to get so full that you cannot contain anymore, and everything extra that you get has to go on. Every single day this week, get saturated and become a blessing. That's the only way to be a blessing to the world around you. Would you bow your heads and your hearts today as we close? Father, I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for the grace. I thank you for your word. And I thank you that you said that your word would be in us, springing up unto everlasting life. Lord God, I pray that every person in here would turn their anointing from lack to abundance, from a well into a river. And God, that we would begin to give out of a saturation point. Lord, if we've not attended to those things and we've not been in your presence, maybe we haven't converted, we haven't repented. God, help us to do that so we can be refreshed, renewed, and overflowing. God, the world needs us, and I pray that you would help us to have something valuable to offer from the top of the barrel, not from the bottom of the barrel. We bless your people now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jake. That was a great word. I'm so thankful that, you know, we serve a God of more than enough, and we'll never lack. There's never a lack of the presence of God. There's never a lack of what it is that we need. And I wrote down in my notes as Pastor Jake was just closing that if I don't have more than enough, I can't